You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the Command Zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Just my imagination. Running away with me. Just my imagination. Running away with me.
Yeah. Temptations.
Beautiful.
The Temptations.
It has to do with our preview card today, of course. What's up, everyone? Yo, watching / listening to the Command Zone podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Wong.
How's it? It's Josh Lee Kwai. Yes, Strixhaven.
Yay, we got a preview card this time.
Yeah, we did. We did. They forgot about us for Kaldheim.
It's okay. We forgive them. There's plenty to cover regardless. We have an interesting card here. It's a blue card. It might be something that a lot of players are interested in. We're going to evaluate, discover how good it is. And the card is called Tempted by the Oreek. Like the Temptations. But before we break it down, if you want to buy this card, if you want to pre-order it right now, there's one place that you got to go to. It's cardkingdom.com/commandzone. Easiest way to get any of your Magic singles and products, especially as Strixhaven rounds the corner. We all got to get back to school. A really exciting set from what we've seen so far, and it's only going to keep providing. So make sure you head over there. You're also supporting the show when you do so. Card Kingdom gets your stuff fast, quick, and easy, and it gets you the card you want when you need it so you can play it at your next game night.
Yeah, you want to pre-order all this Strixhaven stuff. We know the Commander decks, the pre-cons.
Oh, yeah.
They're getting revealed. We're revealing one of them next week. You're going to want to pre-order all those. Cardkingdom.com/commandzone. Best place to do that. And then once you get the cards, remember, you want to keep them in pristine condition. There is one company that Jimmy and I trust our very own personal collections to, and that is Ultra Pro. They really make the best stuff to protect your stuff. You want them to maintain their value. You don't want them to get scuffed up or dinged up. Pro Gloss Eclipse sleeves are the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Satin Towers or Mythic Collection deck boxes will protect the entirety of your deck played on a nice playmat. Ultra Pro really is the best in the biz when it comes to protecting your game pieces.
We should put this in the sleeve. You know, we shouldn't be hypocritical, obviously.
That's a good point.
And of course, the last way to support the show is directly at patreon.com/Command Zone. Our patrons are the backbone of what we do here at the Command Zone. You get to watch extra turns and game nights a day early, ad-free. You get to comment in the Discord, ask Josh and myself questions. We're there every single day answering what you have for us. And there's a great community there. Everyone is super nice and awesome. They can help you with your deck. They can talk about the new spoilers and the preview cards, including the one that we're talking today about today. And of course, if you're a patron, we shout out one lucky patron every single episode. So this episode is
dedicated to Kristen North. Kristen, you rock.
You do rock indeed.
I want to pause to say it's nice to be next to you again, Jimmy.
Yeah, I know. Josh and I both have now gotten a shot in our arms.
Vaccines are great.
Yeah, vaccines are great. And it seems like we're very much on the path to reopening this whole everything. And we're going to be back in business. We're going to be making more content. We're going to be able to invite guests from around the world again. I can't wait.
That was me knocking on a lot of wood.
Yeah.
Let's not tempt fate here, but I agree. It feels like hopefully we're coming out of this, and I'm very jazzed about it. I'm even more jazzed about our preview card, though. Jimmy, Strixhaven preview card, Tempted by the Oreek. Do you want to read it? Let's just not hold everybody in suspense anymore. Let's just read the card. Go ahead and read it anytime
here
you're ready.
Here we go.
Start going anytime. At any moment.
Tempted by the Oreek. Tempted. It's one blue for a sorcery. For each opponent, gain control of up to one target creature or planeswalker that player controls with mana value 3 or less. And just as a reminder, it is no longer converted mana cost, it is mana value. So the mana value...
It's just a wording change that they're doing in Magic.
Yeah. Mana value of this card is 4 because it's 1 blue, aka Cryptic Command mana cost. Okay, so this is stealing stuff...
From everybody.
Obviously much better in a multiplayer game than it is single player, but it does have this thing tacked on where you can only gain control of a creature or a planeswalker that player controls with mana value 3 or less. So you're not hitting any of the big walloping spells or the huge creatures. You're getting things that are pretty affordable and generally 3-drop slot pretty populated in decks.
Yeah, it's interesting. The card was bonkers as you read it until you got to that last drawback, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, 4 mana sorcery, gain control of something from each of your opponents, a creature or planeswalker.
Okay.
But it has to be 3 CMC or less. And the question kind of becomes, how big of a downside is that? I think obviously the comparison is to Blatant Thievery here.
Yes, which is 4 blue, 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 right?
Yeah, it's a lot more mana, but it can steal, you know, basically anything.
Mm-hmm. You get to choose.
Yeah, so the flexibility of Blatant Thievery is, I mean, we see Blatant Thievery played quite often. I don't know how big of a downside it is that the 3 mana value, like, it's hard to sort of parse, like, does that,
right,
like how far does that bring it down? It still seems like it's probably gonna be quite good.
Yeah, well, one thing to note that this is mostly only playable in 2 color decks and mono blue decks, because blue, 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 if you're trying to cast this on turn 3 or 4, you're really not gonna get there with a 3 color deck or more typically. So that is a little thing against it as well, right? You don't see many non-heavy blue decks playing a Cryptic Command. And I would say that the question really is this good really early when you cast it, or is it better when you cast it mid-game, or is it better when you cast it late? Because at any point, right, on turn 4, there have been times where you could cast a spell like this and no one actually has that much stuff. They have artifacts out, they've got land ramp, but they haven't been playing creatures or planeswalkers.
That is the thing, I think, also, that in the comparison of Blatant Thievery, Blatant Thievery can steal more permanent types.
Right.
And this is only creature or planeswalker, and quite often you do end up with like a mana rock or some kind of artifact when you do play the blatant thievery,
right?
And this cannot steal those things. If it could steal artifacts, it would be way, way better, because you're almost always going to get a mana rock from somebody. So the fact that it kind of limits you on only creatures and planeswalkers, I think, is another downside of the card. Here's the thing, though: stealing a card from one player, even, is a 2-for-1.
Right, because they lose it, you gain it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not just a removal spell, but it's also like you cast the thing, kind of, right? Because you have control of it. So just getting one thing is actually pretty good for 4 mana, although we do have comparable, like Control Magic. Do you play Control Magic very much?
I don't. My Marchesa deck is the only one that loves to steal stuff, and 4 mana to steal something is about the rate you would go for, but it's interesting. I mean, the nice thing about Tempted by the Auric is that typically when you play Control Magic or a spell that grabs another creature, when that card dies or the spell's gone, it goes back.
But this tempted, one doesn't do this, yeah.
You're not just tempted, you're joining the fold when you get brought over by Tempted by the Auric.
So Control Magic, I'd say, is playable, but it's fringe, right? It's not super, super efficient. We don't put it in like every blue deck or even a lot of our blue decks. However, if you can like normally steal 2 things, like you don't have to hit all 3 opponents. I think if you could normally steal 2 things with Tempted by the Auric, it's pretty dang good. Because the Control Magic's 2 things, and like you said, doesn't have the downside that you can just remove the enchantment and get the stuff back, is pretty big game. So I think that's the lens I would look at it through. And then we kind of have to evaluate how likely it is that we are going to hit at least 2 things. I mean, 3 is obviously like amazing.
Yeah. I think you're pretty likely to hit 2 things as long as you're not casting it as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. I think this spell really is, its sweet spot is around the mid game when someone's going to cast a card like a Grim Haruspex or a 3 mana thing, right? A Courser of Kruphix. Really impactful, powerful, value-based cards. In that case, it's great, right? Because then you can choose. It's not even your opponent chooses it and gives it to you. The only thing is, I don't think your likelihood of stealing a creature is much, much higher than the Planeswalker, that's for sure.
That's true. We're going to go through that, actually. Let's look at our likelihood of stealing a creature, because we wanted to go through and say, well, how many creatures that are normally played in the format that are popular are 3 CMC or less? So we looked at EDH Rec, and we found that all of the top 10 most commonly played creatures on EDH Rec are 3 CMC or less. Every single one.
Yep. And that makes a lot of sense because, again, like, you aren't going to, you're just more likely also to play creatures that are 3 CMC over a 4 CMC, 5 CMC, 6. Yeah.
Yeah, we always talk about you can't have very many 6 plus CMC cards in your deck. So anything on the high end of the spectrum is not going to get played at that higher rate. Mm-hmm. Whereas everyone's playing, like you said, smaller efficiency creatures. So if you go to the top 10 creatures in each color, then here's what you find. In white, 6 of their top 10 creatures are 3 CMC or less.
Mm-hmm.
In blue, it's 4 of their 10, which is really surprising. I would have thought, but I think they're doing...
They're more spell-based and creatures. Yeah, yeah.
Black, 5 out of 10, so half of their top 10 creatures. Red, 5 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Green, 7 out of their top 10 creatures are 3 CMC or less. And multicolored, 7 of the 10 top multicolored creatures in the format are 3 CMC or less. Now, these numbers look really promising, but we wanted to note that a lot of these creatures are ones that have already sort of done their thing by the time they're on the battlefield. So, like, if you steal somebody's Eternal Witness or Spellseeker or Dockside Extortionist, it's already given value to the person that cast it, and it's not like an exciting card to steal.
Yeah, you can't flicker it even because it's just going to go back to its owner's control. So, and if those are the top most played cards, then yeah, they're not going to get you the value that you want.
So the numbers can be maybe a little misleading. Now, to go to your Planeswalker question, the likelihood of stealing a Planeswalker, you know, for a long time, there, like three mana, there just weren't really any Planeswalkers. That was like the a threshold that they didn't want to cross.
Yeah, and we saw that these became some of the best creatures in Modern, is when you know that three mana is too pushed, right? Oko is the easy example. It's gotten banned in nearly everything now because it's a three CMC walker. But Liliana of the Vale and Jace Beleriand were both pretty played often in Modern. So you know that those are very powerful at three CMC. As a result, these days, you get five CMC, six CMC, typically around that range, but very rarely at three.
Yeah, but we've noticed, like, least recently, I'd say in the last, like, 5 years, they've been way more willing to make 3 CMC Planeswalkers than they were in the past. Like, up until 2013, we only had six total Planeswalkers that were 3 CMC or less. And then after that, since then, there's now 50 Planeswalkers that are 3 CMC or less.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more than there used to be. I agree that, like, not as many are played in our format, but it does snag five of the top 10 most commonly played Planeswalkers in Commander, according to EDH Rec.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, so it's well, relevantly, I just wanted to mention, it hits, like, Narset.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you watch Game Night? Yeah. It would have been nice to cast Attempted by the Ulrich in that game.
Yeah.
I would also note that a lot of these new 3 CMC Planeswalkers did come from War of the Spark. Yep. So they're actually less powerful. But that also means that a lot of players probably like them because they have enchantments stapled on. They're finding different ways to push the power level without having it be Oko level, because that just tore through every format it could, except for obviously the big multiplayer one.
So I think, you know, you're pretty likely to get a creature from somebody. Planeswalker way less likely, just not very many Planeswalkers are really played in Commander.
Yeah.
And not as many of them are 3 CMC, but you might get one once in a while. Like we said, Narset, you see a decent bit of play, actually.
Dak Faden, like that. Well, like those cards are
stealing Dak Faden. Yeah. That's irony. Isn't it ironic?
You we take my thing, I'll take yours. Yeah, I think the interesting part about this is that Planeswalkers, you're right, you're probably not going to steal it. You're most likely, I'd say on average, going to get two creatures. And those creatures, depending on how good they are, Tempted by the Ulrich doesn't look as amazing. Unless you, I think this does kind of feel like it's really meta dependent, because if you're playing a deck with a bunch of mana dorks and you have a lot of opponents that play those, like that's a pretty good creature to steal, even though it's one CMC typically. Yeah.
Well, let's look at, also there's another creature that you can steal because everybody starts with a commander in their command zone. So big question is, how many 3 CMC or less commanders are out there? And we looked at the top 10 most played commanders on EDHREC again, and only two of the top 10 were 3 CMC or less. So Yuriko and Sisay, Weatherlight Captain, were the two. That's of the most popular ones. So it's not as likely to hit a commander, but it, like you said, it's meta dependent. Like in our meta, you know, I have a Vile Smasher and Thrasios deck. This card is really good against that one. Can steal either of the partner commanders.
I have an Anamar deck that's pretty good as well, and stealing a creature like that is pretty strong, especially if it's
breaking, right?
Yeah, especially if you've already put counters on, then the other player gets a lot of advantage from it as well.
Yeah, so it really, I think, would depend a little bit on your meta and whether there's very powerful commanders that are 3 CMC or less, because that's kind of a guaranteed, they're probably going to cast that on curve. Like, if you know an Anamar deck showing up in your group a lot, well, they always want to cast Anamar on turn 3. So it comes to your turn 4, stealing their commander, really setting them back is a huge brutal deal. So, yeah. Let's talk about in real gameplay here. So something
big quotes, by the way.
Yeah, something interesting we did is we looked at the last few game nights and extra turns episodes just to kind of take stock on turn 4 and see on average how often what you would get to steal with this, just to kind of give us some sort of bar that we could hope for telling us like, yeah, so on average there were 5 targets to choose from on turn 4.
Wow. 5 across 3 players, or is this,
so the card was never dead in any of the games we looked at. But in every single instance, there was always one player that had nothing to take.
There you go. Okay.
So sometimes you get one thing, sometimes you get two. There was never an instance in any of the games we looked at. And again, we didn't go all the way back to the beginning. We went just back like 6 or 7 months.
Right.
But on curve, on turn 4, you'd always get something, but you would never get full value, 3 things.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think that is generally where you're going to be, because some decks are just going to play Rampant Growth into a Cultivate, into a whatever, and then they're just going to have lands. But a lot of decks will start, like I remember Craig with his Azusa very early on, right? And those types of creatures
I want to steal somebody's Azusa. That'd be so good.
Yeah, right? So I would say you definitely have to examine what's going on. If everyone is, if there's aggro strategies, this card is gangbusters. If you have a way to rebuy this card and cast it twice or copy it, because there's a lot of copying spells in Strixhaven as we've seen so far, then that could be really valuable too.
All right, so will you play Tempted by the Auric in your decks, Jimmy?
Am I tempted?
Are you tempted to play Tempted by the Auric?
I'm definitely going to play this, I think, in my Marchesa deck. And I know I just said that playing it in three-color decks is really hard, but the fact that you could later on in the game get three things seems pretty good, especially if you can then chain those things into combos, you have sack outlets. One thing I would say is, like, if your opponents all have sack outlets, this card starts sucking real bad real fast.
Yeah, that's a good
point. Aristocrats decks with a Viscera Seer, sorry, yeah, you don't want to steal that.
Yeah, you just go to target it and then just get rid of it.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I think, like, this is one of those cards where I want to test it out. I want to see how it plays in the beginning, middle, and late games. And I know for a fact that there will be cases when I play this and it just ends up winning me the game, or it gets me to that point.
It'll be backbreaking sometimes because if you, like you said, if you steal their Azusa and then steal, you know, I don't know, their Dakfaiden or something, you just happen to have a game where you get two things like that. Just those two things for four mana on turn four is going to be like brutal.
Yeah.
So there will be times. And then I think the real big question mark is, when's it dead? How often is it that you have it in hand and you're like, I can't cast this because I won't be able to steal anything? And it feels like that won't be very often. So I think I'm going to try it out in a couple of decks, and I think it will be quite good.
Yeah, I don't think there's any time when you're going to cast it and it's ever completely dead. Because four mana steal one impactful three CMC thing or less, that seems okay. Especially because so many of the top played cards are getting lower and lower mana value. Yep. Keep in mind, you're not always looking for three CMC stuff. Deathrite Shaman, you know, you're looking for something that could be really good.
Shaman,
yeah, exactly. You know, there's a lot of cards that have a lot of value at the one and two slots even. So,
and just taking things away from them too might be worth it. Like Dockside Extortionist, well, maybe you just take it because they're gonna like
they want to use it
in some
again,
way or blink it or whatever. So yeah. All right, to the listeners, tell us what you think about Tempted by the Auric. Which decks will you put in? Are there any synergies or interesting combos with this card that we didn't talk about? It's pretty open ended, so it's hard to think of any specific combos. But if you have some, in the comments is the place to put them. We appreciate everybody that does that.
Yeah. Or if you are a player that knows what card you never want to have out when this is cast, let us know too, because I think a lot of people might be framing it from that perspective.
All right, no instep today because this is a special bonus preview card episode. We've got tons of content coming up though, so make sure to like and subscribe to this video so that you're let known, because we're going to be talking about all the commander decks. We got set reviews and MDFC reviews and commander reviews,
many.
We got tons of content coming out. We've got another extra turns that I think just came out when you're watching this. We've
deck
got,
upgrades for every single one of the commander videos, budget deck upgrades, all that stuff. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so strap in. Hit that subscribe button. All right, let's give a big thanks to our editing, graphics, and logistics team, which is Manson Lung, Craig Blanchett, Ashlyn Rose, Lady Danger, Alfred Estaca, Josh Murphy, Jake Boss, Patrick Nan, Jordan Pridgen, Arthur Meadowcroft, and Sam Waldo.
Should we mention our new friend in the house?
DJ?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. DJ. DJ's here. I think they've seen him. I think we did one episode with him now. We're shooting these out of order, so
hopefully you have. Otherwise,
I'm pretty sure you've seen DJ now. And yeah, DJ, we brought DJ in because there's so much content that he's helping us, because he's such a been a great fill-in host. So he's definitely going to be on our content more.
Yeah, I came into this room and this microphone was at my forehead. And I was like, someone's been here before me. DJ also got vaccinated, so thank goodness we can actually podcast right next to each other.
Yeah, and big thanks to Jeffrey Palmer, who does the living card animations that begin our episodes and often live behind us. This is Jeffrey's days. Yeah. You can find him on Twitter at LivingCardsMTG.
All right, everyone. Thanks so much for watching. Can't wait for all this Strixhaven stuff coming up again. Like and subscribe to our channel, and we will see you very soon.
Peace.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.